The first 4 days, I introduced the method to quantize quantum field theory, quantum mechanics, and then quantum field theory through path integrals methods. So quantizing, in my mind, means something very simple. It means computing matrix elements of products of operator in the quantum theory. So expectation value in the vacuum or in some thermal states of the quantity. So we did this for basically the simplest quantum field theory, which is a scalar quantum free field. So we have just free particle, second quantization, no charge, no interaction, just free particle, plane waves. So now we start to discuss what's happening when we have a theory with interactions, which is, of course, what we have to do to describe the physical world. So, of course, I'm going to treat next week the case of a theory with fermions, so for QED, so Dirac fermions, which can be formulated in terms of a path integral, but by slightly more involved object, and gauge series, so series with vectors. But up to now, we stay with scalar particles, so no spin. So I'm going to treat a series that you have already met, in fact, in QFT1, but also in a statistical mechanic course, which is the 5-4 theory. So I'm going to treat the interacting theory. And this theory is interesting for various purposes. Well, first, it's a good playground to understand how the problem, how things are working. It's a simple case because there are no spin, no Dirac holology, no. But second, it's also relevant for physics. So it's simple. But it's relevant for both statistical mechanics, because we have seen that such a term will be relevant and is relevant to understand what's going on in critical phenomena in statistical mechanics. And it's also relevant because, in fact, in high energy physics, there is a scalar field with such an interacting term, which is just the Higgs physics. Okay, so what is the interacting phi-4 theory? It's just that we consider a scalar field, so no charge, phi of x in Minkowski or Euclidean spacetime. Okay. But we want to introduce a term that describes interaction between particles. We know that the massless case, in the non-interacting, in the free case, you have just particle mass m that do not interact. And now we have to introduce an interaction. And the simplest interaction is to have point-like interaction. So you have, if you have two particles, they are like hard balls. When they touch each other, they can interact. So we have a contact, which means local interaction. And it turns out that this is described by the following 5-4 theory. So let me write what is the action and in order to avoid I factors and in the first place, I'm going to consider the Euclidean theory. But remember, we expect that the Vic rotation we see is going to work and out of a quantization of an Euclidean theory, you can recover a physical theory in Minkowski spacetime. Okay. So what is going to be the action for a 5-4 theory? Well, it's very simple. We take the interacting theory. So I am omitting the E up to now. I omit the E subscript. But remember, they are always here. The Euclidean action is just an integral over my d-dimensional Euclidean spacetime. This is RD. Then I have the term that describes the free field theory. So there is a kinetic and gradient term, and then the phi squared. But then I had a phi 4 term, okay, which corresponds to the fact that if we have two incoming particles, we can have two outgoing particles. Or we may have one incoming particle that creates three particles, or three particles that meet and makes one particle. So this kind of interaction term that is going to correspond to a vertex in perturbation theory describes those three phenomena, three processes. So phi 4, as we shall see, is going to describe this. And of course, we have to plug in mass. So I'm introducing just the strength of the interaction. So G is going to be a coupling constant. This factorial 4 factor is just a normalization for convenience. And G is going to be considered to be positive. G positive, as we shall see, corresponds to having a repulsion between particles. The particles don't like to be at the same point. Because if there was an attraction, the particles are bosons, so are spin zero particles, so they will condensate in a bosonic condensate. In fact, that's happening in the Higgs mechanism. So repulsion, so you have no condensate. Okay, and of course, let's be specific. When I said phi squared, this is the square of the field phi at two particles. And I am integrated over it. Okay, so this is a classical action.
Question?
Yes?
So are you saying that it's repulsion just because you would...
Because G is positive.
Yeah. Why is that propulsion?
Oh, you can see that. We'll see that basically the field phi of basically phi squared correspond to the average number of particles. We have seen that phi squared is a bit problematic, but if you make sense of everything, sometimes phi squared of x is roughly speaking the average density of particles at point X in the vacuum. This is something which is not very well defined in a relativistic quantum field theory, because I explained to you yesterday at length that this is not very well defined. But this is true in non-relativistic quantum field theory. So if you see, this term corresponds to having a dt squared minus dx squared. So if you replace the dt squared by a dt squared by a dt, there is a non-relativistic version of this action that describes non-relativistic particle or a gas of boson. So non-relativistic boson, the kind of boson you are studying in condensed matter. In the kind of bosons that you are going to discuss, I presume, in the course of condensed matter when studying supraconductivity. You are studying Cooper pairs, which are in supraconductivity, which are bosons, but non-relativistic bosons, and you study the interaction between them. So this is true in non-relativistic QFT. Okay, so phi squared is basically the number of particles at point X. So phi 4 means that you have an interaction term which is the square of the density of particles. So, and this is an energy term, a potential energy term. So this corresponds to the fact that if you have one particle, it costs some energy. But if you have two particles, it costs more than the energy of just the sum of the energy of two particles. Because this term is just, if you want, the energy per particle. And this term is the energy, additional energy that you have put in the system in order to have two particles at the same point. And since G is positive, it means that the energy is positive. You have to add energy. So that's why it's repulsion. Okay? So sometimes G phi squared is very roughly speaking that it means that it costs an energy G to have two bosons at the same place. Okay, that's a bit unwavering argument, but that's basically what's going on. Okay, so this is the action in Euclidean space, and I'm going to denote S0 of phi, the action where you have no interaction. Okay, so all the calculation we did the last two lectures were referring to this action. So this is the free field, the free action. And G equals zero. Okay. So now we want to see whether this theory, this classical theory, can be quantized. Okay. So quantization. We are naive. We use the path integral of functional quantization, and we want to define a functional integral for this field. Okay. So I'm going to define the functional integral in the following way. I'm going to define a partition function, if you want, which is z. I'm denoting this as z equal integral d of phi exponential minus, and there is 1 over h bar, s of phi. This is very okay, so that's very formal. Remember, this is the Euclidean action, so there is a minus one and not a I factor. But I'm going to use here the measure for the free field that we have been considering. So this is a measure for the free field. Because I know how it is, but having a different local measure is just a change in the normalization, apart from the fact that everything is infinite. So this is a choice of definition. So I define my path integral in this way. So the only change is that I have the new action. Okay? And I'm going to normalize this a bit. So I'm going to define in the free action z0 to be integral z0 phi exponential minus 1 over h bar s0 of phi. So this is the original functional integral we defined for the free field. And here I'm going to normalize z with respect to z0. So let me call this z bar. Okay, so this is just a question of normalization. Okay? It's just a normalization. Of the measure, the functional measure. Okay. And okay, so this is the functional integral that I'm going to consider for the interacting theory. And now if we want to consider in the interacting theory, in the interacting theory, if I want to compute expectation value of fields, the correlation functions, they are going to be defined as simply the expectation value of phi of x1, phi of xn. You see, these are the typical, the same objects as the one we calculated using Wick theorem in the free theory. Now they are given to be given by the ratio of this with phi inserted and phi not inserted. So they are corresponding to integral d0 of phi exponential minus 1 over h bar s times phi, I'm omitting the phi, divided by integral d0 of phi exponential of minus 1 over h bar s. So this is the correlation functions. Of the theory. If the receipt of path integral quantization works. Okay? And they should correspond by weak peak rotation when we go back to Minkowski space pattern to the vacuum expectation value of time ordered product of phi operator at point x1 up to xn, if the same receipt works. But one has to be a bit careful because those are the field operator and this is the vacuum state, the ground state of the theory, for the interacting theory. Okay. So this vacuum state is not the same state, quantum state, that the vacuum state of the free theory. Omega G is positive, is different from zero for the free theory. Okay. In fact, a mathematician will tell you that they do not, this state doesn't even live in the same Hilbert space. But that's a bit of a too subtle point for us at that stage. Okay. Okay, so these are the, this is the definition of the partition function. You need this, and this is the definition of the correlation function. And that's what we want to compute. Because out of this, we can compute all the matrix element of operators and of states in the interacting theory, if everything works well. So these are the correlation functions. Okay. So this was my first board. This was my second blackboard. So of course, this is something very complicated because the path integral, the functional integral, is no more Gaussian. So now, this is difficult to compute because the path integral is no more Gaussian integral. So this is a very complicated thing to compute, and in general, for a general theory, even the 5-4 theory, it's not known how to compute this exactly. There are some cases where mathematicians and mathematical physicists can define properly this path integral. They can show that it converges, that it has such and such and such property, but that cannot compute it exactly. There are some special cases, especially in 1+1 dimension, where this quantum theory, even the classical theory, has a lot of symmetry because it corresponds to an integrable system with an infinite number of symmetry laws. And then some of these objects can be computed, but that's hard. There are other theories in 1+1 dimension, which has also an infinite dimensional group of symmetry, which is called the group of conformal symmetry. And then many quantities can be computed too. But in general, this is difficult. Difficult. We need non-perturbative matter. I'm going to explain what it means. Okay. But of course, the program had been started for the first quantum theory that had been studied in the 40s and the 50s by physicists even before, which is quantum electrodynamics. We can rely in many cases on perturbation theory. So perturbation theory, which is a very useful tool, is available. And perturbation theory means considering that G is very small, and we make an expansion, a series expansion, in G around zero, around the free theory. Okay? And that's something that you have seen already in QED, in canonical quantization. Consider radiative process at first order in E squared, so in the coupling constant, in the fine structure constant. And we are going to see to do exactly the same thing for the 5-4 theory. Okay. So in order to do perturbation theory, let me just introduce some notation so that one doesn't get too much confused about the quantities which are at the numerator and the denominator of the path integral when we want to compute a correlation function. This is a physical object. This is just some mathematical object, and it's a ratio of this term that gives a physical quantity. Okay. So let me just introduce some notation. So I'm going to define this numerator, well, normalized by 1 over z0 by z bar. So I'm going to define a function z bar of x1 up to xn. So it's a function n point in space-time. It's just this numerator, well, normalized by 1 over z0. So this is 1 over z0 the path integral with the measure of the free field, exponential minus 1 over h bar s of phi. This is the interacting theory, times phi of x1 from phi of xn. Okay? And so you see that this object, so this is defined for any points. So with this notation, when you have 0 point, I just call this z bar, and this is 1 over z0 integral d0 of phi exponential of minus 1 over h bar s of phi. So this is just a notation. And with this notation, it is clear that this correlation function is just the ratio of this by this. You see? The expectation value of phi of x1, phi of xn, correlation function that I think at some point in the following I can call it a green function. Now, so let me call this function g of x1, xn. This is just the ratio of this by this. Xn divided by z bar. Okay. So this is just a choice of notation. And of course, all this depends on all the terms depends on the coupling constant. Coupling g. This depends on g, this depends on g, this depends on g, this depends on g. Okay? Okay, so those are notations. But these notations are convenient because now I am going to consider perturbation theory for this object. Okay, so now we are in good shape to define what is perturbation theory. Okay, perturbation theory means expanding in powers of g. But of course, we have seen that the action is, there is a free term plus the g term. So the exponential is a product of two things. So let me just consider this object. So this object, z bar, okay, x1, xn. We can revise this 1 over z0 integral, functional integral with a measure of the free field, and then I can rewrite this as exponential minus 1 over h bar. And I'm going to rewrite s as s0 plus perturbation, so I can rewrite this as s0 of phi, and then the exponential of the sum is the product, so I can rewrite this times exponential of minus 1 over h bar g divided by factorial 4 integral d dx of phi 4 of x, okay, times phi of x1. Oh, and since there are x's here and x's here, let me just denote the external point by z. z1 phi of zn. Okay, so the zn are the external points, the external coordinates, the coordinates of this function. Oh, and of course, that's still a bit misleading because this is a capital Z bar. Right. Well, these are small z, okay? Well, every year, each time I teach, I realize that there is some a bit misleading interpretation. So let's write this as a capital Z. Okay. Okay. Okay, and of course, if we assume that G is small, we can expand this in G. You just expand the exponential. So if we expand the exponential, so expand in Taylor, so you use a Taylor theory. Of the exponential. Okay. We get then what we can do is invert the expansion with a path integral. So let's do that carefully. So we do a series expansion of exponentials. So we write exponential of minus g over h bar times factorial of 4 integral e d of x. By 4 of x. Okay, this, everything is as sum from k equals 0 to infinity of 1 over factorial k minus g over factorial 4 h4 to the power k. And then I have products k times this integral that I can rewrite as this as integral e. x 5/4 of x to the power k, so this is perfectly valid. But if we expand this, if we make an interversion between the path integral and the sum over k of this quantity, what we get is a path integral, a sum over k, 0 to infinity, this factor, 1 over factorial k, minus g over factorial 4 h bar to the power k. Then we have a product of integrals, so we can write this as an integral over k different variables. So we can write this as a big integral over d dx1 up to d dxk. And then we are going to have a 5/4 of x1, 5/4 of x2, 5/4 of xk inside this path integral. We write this d0 phi exponential of minus 1 over h bar s0 of phi. Okay, there is this normalization factor by z0. And then we have phi of z1 up to phi of zn, and then phi 4 of x1. 5/4 of xn or xk. Okay? And this path integral, this term, is nothing but the expectation value in the free theory of this product of operator. So this is just the expectation value of phi of z1 up to phi of zn, then phi 4 of x1 up to phi 4 of xk. And this is the expectation value of this quantity in the free theory. So we have a vacuum expectation value in the free theory. Okay? So we end up with a series involving integrals of correlation function in the free theory. That's something that you have seen. And in canonical quantization by a different regime, expanding the exponential of the evolution operator, etc., you get at the end exactly the same result. So by functional integral, we get the same kind of formula that you got by canonical quantization. Okay. So this z bar finally, let's write this big z bar of c1 cn is just a sum. K equals 0 to infinity, 1 over factorial k minus g over factorial 4 h4 to the power k, an integral over the position of those internal points, xk, and this expectation value in the free theory. Okay, so this is okay, so that's the idea. And that's what one computes in perturbation theory. Because that's something which is now we know how to compute. Okay? Okay, so this seems easy, but there is a caveat. So basically what we are writing is this is the same thing than this. Okay? We introvert this sum. And warning, we are introverting infinite sum. And you are a bit familiar with the mathematics of infinite series. This is not always permissible. This is dangerous. And sometimes it's just cannot be done.
When do you find out that it can be done?
Well, you look if you have the consistency. Well, of course, you can have a mathematical, but already if you compute by two different and you find different results, then of course it means that something was wrong in your assumption. And here, this is permissible up to some point. So this is dangerous. And one way to see that is that this sum over k is convergent. This sum over k, of course, it's the exponential, so it's an entire series. As it's called in English, entire function. It's a function that defines analytic, so it's a convergent series. The whole complex plane. This turns out to be a series in K, which is not a convergent series. In fact, the radius of convergence.
Zero.
Convergence is zero. But still, it's an object which can be make sense because it's an asymptotic series. When g goes to zero, this is a series in powers of g sometimes. Okay? So it's a series which is asymptotic in the sense that when g goes to zero, you get a good, better and better approximation. But still, it converges in a non-trivial way, which is not that of the convergent series. And you can make, there is a nice exercise. Do functional integrals in d equals zero. So functional integrals in d equals zero means that you just compute the integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of a variable that I can call phi, but now that's a real variable, of exponential of minus, so now you have no derivative, but you have phi squared. So you get minus, let's get minus 1/2 of phi squared minus g divided by factorial 4, if you like, by 4. Make the series in k, so you get minus 1 to the power k, gk divided by factorial k, factorial 4 to the power k, and then you get the expectation value of phi 4 k for Gaussian theory, for Gaussian integral. Okay? And check that this coefficient behaves like factorial k. So it grows faster than any power, any number to the power of k, which means it's clear that it's not a convergent theory. So that's a nice exercise. Okay. Okay, so this is dangerous, but at that stage, we are just going to study the properties of each term of perturbation theory. So we close our eyes. Okay. Close our eyes. In fact, it took the physicists some time to realize that there was this problem. But this is a problem which is related to math from the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. And that's a phenomenon which is not specific to quantum theory. In fact, there are perturbation theory in classical mechanics. You know, all this very wonderful calculation that has been made in the 19th century in celestial mechanics, for instance, by Le Verrier, by Adams, by studying the perturbation of planets by other planets. These are perturbation theory. And they suffer from the same problem. And I think this was discovered by Poincaré. So this is a problem which is not specific to quantum mechanics. So mathematician knows a lot about that. But still, it's a subject of intensive mathematical research, even now, for some problems. The problem of how to deal with the divergence of perturbation theory and how to resum it. So that's an interesting point. You should be aware of that. OK, so now we have defined what is perturbation theory. So we want to compute this object. So this term, so we can rewrite, if you want, this as a sum of powers of k of some quantities. OK, so now how to compute this object? How to compute? This object. Well, this is a free theory, so we can use Wick's theorem to explain. Just use Wick's theorem, which tells us that phi of z1 up to phi of zn, phi 4 of x1 up to phi 4 of xk in the free theory is given by a sum over pairings of products over the pairs of something, phi of something. Okay. And of course, these and these can be these, or x's. Or these are called the external points. Points. And the x's are the internal points to be integrated over. You have to integrate over the x's here. Okay. So we have seen that, well, according to Feynman, each pair can be represented by a line. So we are going to introduce the Feynman diagrams, which just obtained by representing this by this, representing phi of Lett's point. Let's call it y, because it can be either a z's in the free theory. This is, of course, in the free theory, as a propagator between the point y1 and the point y2. So this is a line propagator. So for each pairing, you are getting a representation in terms of a diagram representing lines that are connected, and to each diagram is associated an integrand, the product of those propagators, and we have to integrate over the position of the internal vertices. So it turns out at the end of the game that, and I'm going to give example, that this quantity, z bar of z1 of the external point, depending on the external point, is given, it's going to be given by the sum of a perturbation theory of term of the power, and here you see that you have some minus g to the power k. And then you are going to have a sum of our diagrams. Let's call it g, g for graph. Graphs. These are going to be the famous Feynman diagrams. And there is going to be an integral that I'm going to call an amplitude, ij of z1 zn, where ij of z1 zn is the amplitudes of the integral, the graph g, the diagram g. And this integral is going to be given by this integral over the position of the internal points, ddx1, ddxn, over products over the lines of the diagrams of the propagators, namely the function g0. The endpoints of the line. Remember, G0 was this propagator corresponding to the Feynman propagator that we drove. Okay? So this is the integrand, if you want, the integrand of the Feynman integral. And one last point that we're going to discuss immediately. In fact, several pairings, well, some different pairings can get give rise to the same diagram, because some of the vertices are at the same point. So in fact, you have to take into account the combinatorics of the Feynman diagrams. And so there is a number, which is a combinatoric factor. Or symmetry factor. Well, and this is the amplitude. So this is the general feature that you have met already. Okay. So you have to remember this. This is this. And this is the typical form of Feynman integral, of Feynman amplitudes. Okay. Okay, so this is very, you know, this is the logic, but of course, you need to do calculation in order to understand how it works. But you have seen that. So let's give now examples. Examples. Okay, so of course there is an H bar that goes everywhere here. So at the moment I'm going to set H bar 1, but we are going to come back to later. Okay. So we expand in G. So let's first consider the perturbative expansion of Z bar itself. Perturbative expansion. Or Z bar, which is just which defined here. So it's just Feynman path integral with no phi. So which means that I'm considering that there are zero external points. Yeah. Which means that I want to compute this path integral with no z's. So in this case, Z bar is just sum from k equal 0 to infinity. Well, we have computed it, so we can, in fact, we can just compute it. The first coefficient, k equal 0, is just, this is 1. And we are computing, we are integrating over no x's, and we are computing the expectation value of 1. So this is 1. Then the term k equal 1 is minus g divided by factorial 4 integral dx1. 4 x 1. Okay, the second term is 1 over factorial 2 minus g divided by factorial 4 squared integral d dx 1 dx 2 phi 4 of x 1 phi 4 of x 2, and I compute the expectation value of this in the free theory plus term of order G3. Okay, that's very simple. And now let's compute this, if I made no mistake. Okay, so let me first compute this object. So five, so this expectation value of 5, 4 of x1 in the free theory. Well, yesterday we discussed the fact that this is divergent. But I'm closing my eyes, and I'm just going to discuss the combinatorics of this when we apply the Vick theorem. So We have four files, and we have to pair them in different way. There are three different pairings of four elements. But those three pairings give, of course, the same object. So this is just equal to 5 squared of x1 times 5 squared of x1, the free three, times three. And I can represent this by using Feynman rule. So I just say that I have a 5-4 with a vertex here at x1. I have 4-5. I apply Vick theorem so that I pair them, and to each pairing is associated a propagator. So this gives me this diagram. I pair this with this plus this diagram. And then I can pair this with this plus this diagram. Which is, of course, 3 times this diagram with a point x1 here. Okay? So, this is the Feynman diagram. Which represents this quantity. Okay. And therefore, let me use this here. Therefore, my z bar here is 1 minus g. And now you have 1 over factorial 4, which is 4 times 3 times 2, so this is 24, times 3, so this is 1 over 8, and times this diagram. So these diagrams represent the amplitude associated to this diagram. So this diagram is a way to represent diagrammatically d dx1 phi squared of x1 squared. But of course, this is independent of phi. So this is phi squared of 0, if you want. But well, let us write this x1. Of course, this is infinite, and this is in an integral over the whole space Rd, so this is also infinite. But imagine that we are on a finite lattice. Imagine that we are on a finite lattice with periodic boundary condition, and we are on a lattice. Then this is finite, and the integral over the whole space is the sum over the point of the lattice, so this is finite. So ultraviolet and infrared deregularization make sense of this. Okay. Infrared. Makes sense. This. Okay. So now let's work out the second term. And then I am going to need a bit more space. Let's switch to this blackboard. If every one of you thinks that I'm going too slowly, because you have seen that already, I can speed up. But if you are happy, I continue. Okay. So now, second term. I want to compute the expectation value of phi 4 of x1, phi 4 of x2 in the free theory. This is the second term that we have to integrate over. So now we have four field pi, one at point x1, one at point x2. You have this legs that represent the phi. Okay. So how can I pair this phi applying Vick's theorem? Of course, first you can pair those with those and those with those. So you are just doing twice the same thing. And this is completely uncorrelated with this. So you get first these diagrams. This diagram, one and point one. But let me write this one. One and point two. This means just that we are at point x1 and x2. And of course, you arrive three ways to pair this, You get nine. Because nine is 3 by 3. Okay, so you see you have nine different pairings that gives this diagram. Now, you may start, of course, to get non-trivial C by pairing one of those phi to one of those phi. If you do that, what remains are three phis, and you cannot pair them independently of those. You have to pair at least two phi. So, what you can do is you can pair one of those phi with one of those phi. One, one, two. And then you have two remaining phis, and you can pair them pairwise like that. Okay. This is a nine. It's not a G, so this is a nine. Okay. Well, that's not different.
That's right, like a G.
Okay. Okay, so now the counting is a bit different because, well, maybe I could have. No, but even G. No, yeah, I should have. because you have different ways to pair this. First, you have to choose a pair of phi here. And there are six pairings. Then you have to choose a pair of phis here. Then you have to pair them. And then what remains is fixed. So what you get is, if I'm not mistaken, if I take my first, I get a factor of 4. I get 6 by 6, which is 36. But in fact, if I choose a pair here and I choose a pair here, yeah, I choose a pair, and then I can still, you know, pair them in two different ways. So this is 72, if I'm not mistaken. 72 means that I have 6 by 6 by 2. Okay? And then you may choose to pair this one with this one, this one with this one, this one with this one, and this one with this one. Okay. Then we get this object. One, two. And how many ways do you have to pair these with these? You choose one. And then you choose one, you have four. Then you choose a second one and you pair to one of the remaining three. Then you choose one, you pair it to one of the remaining two. Then there is no choice, so you get factorial 4. Which is 24. Okay. So if I'm not mistaken, you see that this is 9 times pi squared of x1 squared, pi squared of x1 of x2 squared plus 62, pi squared of x1 times pi of x1, pi of x2 squared. Of course, these are high expectation value in the free theory, times pi squared of x2, the expectation factory, plus 24 pi of x1, pi of x2 to the power 4, because you have 4 lines, 4 propagators. And now you have to integrate over those diagrams. So what you get is plus g squared. And now one has to be a bit more careful, because now the combinatoric factor is 1 over factorial 4, 1 over 24 to the power squared. So if you work out things, and if I have not been mistaken, you find this two diagram, contribution of those two diagrams with a factor which is one over 128. But this 1 over 28 is just 1 half times 1 over 8 times 1 over 8. Okay. Then you get the amplitude associated to this diagram with a factor 1 over 16. Because this is the 72 divided by less, plus integral associated to this diagram with a factor 1 over 48. And 1 over 48 is 1 half divided by 1 over 24. That's one of the, there is a 1 half here, and there is 1 over factorial 4 that remains. Okay. And this one, if you are not mistaken, this is, of course, this is plus. Okay. I'm going to keep that because that's useful to view those numbers. So these are the combinatoric factors. And this Feynman diagram represents the amplitude. So the integral now over x1 and x2. So this term contains, you know, two integrals. So it's proportional to the volume of space squared. And these terms are just proportional to the volume of space, because you integrate over one. You can move one of the points, but the other one is attached to this one. OK. So this is the simplest case, what's called the vacuum diagram. Okay, so now we have still 20 minutes. So let's go to using a lot of blackboards. This thing. So let me now use, go to, maybe I can erase. That's better. I prefer to. Well, I can use this one. Okay. So now let's go to n equal 2. So I'm computing the two-point function. So I'm computing z bar of z1, z2. So z bar of z1, z2 correspond to having the expectation value of two external points. So this is going to be phi of z1, phi of z2 in the free theory plus minus g over factorial 4 times integral over dx1 of phi of z1, phi of z2. Phi 4 of x1 in the free theory. And then if I continue, this is plus 1/2 minus g over factorial 4 squared integral dx1 dx2 phi of z1 phi of z2 phi 4 of x1, phi 4 of x2, plus m over the d to the power 3. So, this is just the propagator. Now, we have to go. So, we get that this is this propagator between the point z1 and the point z2. And I'm going to represent the external vertices by black dots and the internal by white dots. Those points are fixed. Okay, then I have to consider this. Now I have 6 points. 6 points, this is 15 different pairings. But lot of pairings will give the same result. So let's consider this. And okay, see, I have some weight here. Let's consider this. This we have our two external points, 1 and 2, and here we have an internal vertex. Here. So of course, first we can pair this with this one, this with this one, this with this one. This gives this diagram times this diagram. Let me represent it in this way. Okay? And of course, you have 3 ways to do that. Now you can pair this with one of these, and this with one of these. Then you get something more interesting. Because you get a diagram like that, like this one. And how many pairings give this? Well, you take the first one, which is fixed. It has a number. You have to choose one of the 4. Then you take this one. You have to choose one of the remaining 3. And then you are done. So you get 12, where 12 is 4 times 3. OK. So, but there was a minus g over factorial 4, so we get a minus g. We get 3 divided by factorial 4, so we get 1/8 of this, 1/8 of this diagram, plus 12 divided by factorial 4, which is 1/2 of this diagram. Okay. And this is just G0 of Z1 minus Z2, because this is just the propagator, so the propagator. This is 1/8 of G0 of Z1 minus Z2 times G0 of 0, because we have XX squared. And this is 1/2 of integral, integral over dx. It's an integral, because that's internal, that's important. So this is integral dd of x1 of g0 of 0 squared. So it's just an infinite quantity times the volume of space, but that's exactly the same. And then we get 1/2 of this integral, which is integral dd x1 of g0 of z1 minus x1, g0 of x1 minus z2 times g0 of 0. So this is divergent, but this is a term which is turns out to be non-zero, not divergent. Going to study this integral. In this integral, all the points are related. So you can integrate over x1. Okay? So you see the logic. This is the Feynman integral. This is the combinatoric factor. This is the Feynman integral. This is the combinatoric factor. Okay, so this is for n equal 2. And you can go on and compute the other diagrams. And let me just give the result without any explanation. The result at order 2 is this diagram times the product of those two, which you can guess, with a factor 1/128, and that's the same than here, in fact, for a good reason. Then you get this diagram times this diagram with the same factor 1/16 for a good reason. Then you get this diagram times this diagram with the same factor 1/48 for a good reason. And then you get more interesting results. You get this one times this one with 1/16. But 1/16 is 1/2 times 1/8. And then you get this diagram with a factor 1/4 plus this diagram with a factor 1/6. Okay, just trust me. Okay. And you see that this diagram is new, because this one is a combination of this one and of one we got for the computation of the zero point function. Same here, this one is not new, this one is not new, this one is not new, but those one are new. Okay? They are new, and one addition, not only they are new, but they are connected. Because all vertices are connected by some line, where those ones are disconnected. So this is a disconnected part, this is a disconnected part. So this one are new and connected. And that's why, because they are connected, that they are new. Okay, okay, so finally I have 2 minutes left. So let's go to n equal 4. So remember, this was n equal 0, vacuum diagram. This was n equal 2, the two-point function, Now I consider the four-point function. So I'm interested in computing z bar of z1, z2, z3, z4, which is interpretive expansion given by phi of z1 up to phi of z4 in the free theory minus g divided by factorial 4 integral over dx1 phi of z1 phi of z2, phi of z3, phi of z4, phi 4 of x1, plus term of order p squared. Okay. And again, you can apply Wieck theorem. So this is just the four-point function of the free theory that we have computed before. So it's given by those diagrams. One, two, three, four, plus one, three, two, four. These are the external vertices. Plus one, four, two, three. So this is the result of free theory, of the free theory. Then we get minus g times a set of diagrams. And if you have understood a bit the how this works, first you are going to have, you know, those lines with dressed with things. So you are going to have this. So let's be careful. This, well, first you are going to have all those diagrams plus this diagram. Well, with in addition some this diagram. Then you are going to have those diagrams where you plug one of those bubbles on it. And you have six of them. So let's write them complete. This is a bit systematic, but you are going to have this. this. Okay. And then you have the interesting new diagram, which is obtained when you pair this phi with one of those phi internal, this one with the second one, this one for the third one, and this one the fourth one, which gives this amplitude. Okay. And if you work out how much you have, you see you have factorial four ways to construct this one, the last one, because you have to choose one of the four here to pair with this one, one of the three remaining, one of the two remaining. So you have a factorial four ways, which is divided by this one over factorial four. So the combinatoric factor of this one is one. While, well, all those diagrams have the same combinatoric factor, which is going to be 1/2. And all those diagrams are going to have the same combinatoric factor, which is 1/8, which is the combinatoric factor of this diagram and which is the combinatoric factor of this diagram. Okay, so this one is new. And connected. So you start to see some structure. You have a diagram which are connected, diagram which are non-connected, and basically when you increase the number of n's, the new diagrams that you had not obtained already before are the connected ones. So it's better to think in terms of connected diagrams than in terms of all the diagrams. Okay. And that's what we are going to do tomorrow. But and to finish, if I want to go to order p squared, namely diagram with 2 phi 4, you get a bunch of disconnected diagrams that I am not going to write. You have diagrams which are like this one, but with one bubble crafted on one of the line. And you have four of them. And then you have new diagrams. And let me draw this. These are diagrams which are like that. This is 1, 2, 3, 4. And these are the internal vertices you have to integrate over it. But you have three of them, which are obtained just by making permutation of the external legs. So you get this one, and let me write it in this way. Well, you can write them in this way. This can be 1, 3, 4. And this is going to be 1, 4, 2, 3. Okay. And these are new. Okay, this one is new, is not really new because it's crafted by something. And the symmetry factor for all those new terms is 1/2. So these are the really new diagrams. So tomorrow, I'm going to discuss more the combinatorics, more diagrammatics and combinatorics. Not tomorrow, because of course it's a weekend. On Monday, next Monday.
Oh, not tomorrow?
Huh? No, tomorrow is, we are on Friday. Right? We went fast, but Monday. So I'm going to discuss a bit more where those symmetry factor comes from. And I'm going to discuss the systematic of this by considering what's called generating function. Functions and functionals, namely algebraic way to manipulate the path integral in order to manipulate those diagrams, the amplitudes. Okay, so Monday. And once I didn't do that, a bit later, we are going, of course, to discuss the integrals. Because we just did some combinatorics here. And this diagram corresponds to an integral over the position of two internal vertices. So one has to check whether these integrals are convergent, divergent, what are the properties. In particular, the integral properties. They have divergences. And this is going to lead up to the problem. Discussing renormalization. Okay, so thank you.